I'll be reading 1 Corinthians 11:26-27. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body of the blood of the Lord.
Thank you, Kobe. Great job. Good morning, church. It's great to be here. The offices were closed last week for the work that's going on in the parking lot, and it's just strange. I feel like I've been away forever, and it's nice to be with you guys and nice to be around. I get to see many of you during the week when we're up here, and so I feel like I've kind of been locked in the closet for a while. I'm glad to be back with you. Back in 1992, Jan and I renewed our marriage vows. We initially set our marriage vows in 1979, but in 1992, the stars aligned so that we could have the preacher who performed the original wedding ceremony. He was in the same place that we were, same general vicinity, and I'd always wanted to renew the wedding vows so I could do a much better job of proposing, because I really blew the proposal the first time. I was just grateful that Jan was a woman of grace and allowed me to have a sorry proposal, and she still said yes. But I wanted a chance to write that, but I also wanted a chance for us to renew our vows, because I remember years after we were married, in the same house that we were in when we renewed our vows, I remember listening to the cassette of our marriage ceremony, which that tells you about how long ago, technology in 1979. And I remember listening to the vows that we made, and I thought, man, I better step up my game. I'm not fulfilling the vows that I had kept. But the renewal of the vows was very special for a couple of different reasons. One of those was it looked back. It looked back over those 13 years that we'd been married. And it looked back over the fact that we had built a life together, one life in two bodies. We had done that. God had blessed us with our two daughters by that point. We owned a house in Louisville, Texas at that point. We had built a life together. And so by coming together 13 years later and renewing our vows, it looked back on the original vows that we made and the life that we've created that God's blessed us with in those 13 years. And then it was a chance for us to look forward. And I guarantee you, when I stood before that same minister and pledged before God and witnesses to love, honor, and cherish my wife till death do us part, I had a far better understanding of what that meant after doing it for 13 years than I did when I stood before that same minister in 1979 and made those vows originally. So it was a chance to look back at God's blessing. It was a chance to look forward to the future together that we've enjoyed now for 46 years. I think coming up on 47 in January. And so it was a wonderful moment that I still look back on and still cherish. I say that to say this morning we're looking at communion. And communion is very much a vow renewal ceremony. It's a way of renewing our vows. And so that's what we want to talk about. And what's important about communion, what looks back to the past and what looks ahead to the future, and why this ceremony is so important to you and me. So let's start by looking at communion's origins. Where does communion come from? We're going to go to Matthew for that. Matthew, beginning in chapter 26, verse 17. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" Let's stop there. So the Passover celebration was a remembrance, a celebration of Israel's freedom from slavery in Egypt. It celebrated this deliverance from this slavery in Egypt where the people cried out and God sent them a deliverer. And not only was it freedom from slavery, but it brought them out of that relationship with Egypt and allowed them to enter into a covenant relationship with God. God took them to Mount Sinai and created with them a covenant relationship. And in that covenant relationship, according to Genesis chapter 20, God promised to be their God. What that meant was he was their protector and their master, their Lord. So God promises to be Israel's God. In exchange for that, Israel promises to honor God and to live to his glory. And so our communion service finds its origins in this deliverance from slavery that leads to an introduction into a relationship with God that's unique and one of a kind. There are several key passages or key factors to the Passover celebration, and one of those is the sacrifice of the lamb. After the Passover lamb was sacrificed at the temple, it was then taken back home and prepared for the Passover meal. There were some features about the Passover lamb. First of all, it had to be an animal without blemish or defect and no broken bones. They could not bring God anything less than their best. And one of the key features was it had no broken bones. And once the meal was prepared, the family would sit down to the meal for the Passover celebration. And the tradition usually was that one of the children, often the oldest son in the family, would ask his father, "Father, why is this night different from the other nights?" And then the father would recite the Exodus. And he would recite it in first person. Instead of saying, 100 years ago, your forefathers were brought out of Egypt, he would say, "We were enslaved in Egypt, and we cried out for a deliverer. And God sent us Moses. And Moses went ahead of Pharaoh, and God went with him. And together they defeated Pharaoh so that we won our independence. God let us out into the wilderness. And there we camped at the base of Mount Sinai. And we made a covenant with God. And this was our Passover celebration where the blood was sprinkled over the door lintel." He would tell it first person, and what that meant was the history was no longer just dry history that happened to some people a long time ago. It was us. It was our relationship with God. It was our deliverance. It was our Passover. So there's one of the key features of the Passover celebration. Another one of those is the meal itself. The Passover meal has several symbolic components to it. One of those is the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb is considered a peace offering to God. God, we want to be at peace with you. We don't want to be at war. If we are at war, we want to no longer be at war. We want to petition for peace, to be with you. Another factor is the bitter herbs. The bitter herbs that they would eat during the Passover meal would remind them of the bitter captivity they had in Egypt, the bitter time they had as slaves in Egypt. Unleavened bread. The unleavened bread reminded them of the hasty exit. When the Egyptians finally had enough, the Israelites, when Pharaoh finally said enough is enough, they had to pack their things and go at a moment's notice. And so the bitter herbs reminded them of the bitterness there and their bitter time there, and the unleavened bread, the hasty exit from Egypt. And then there were four cups of wine during the meal. The meal was broken out into four different stages, and each one had a cup of wine with it. Each cup of wine had a different meaning to it. A lot of things going on in the Passover celebration. That's kind of the origin. That's the history. Our communion service finds its history, its origin, in the Passover meal. So let's talk for a minute about the significance of the Lord's Supper, the significance of that. Let's go to Matthew 26. Let's stay in Matthew 26. Let's go to verse 26. Matthew 26, 26. "While they were eating, Jesus and his disciples, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.'" The original disciples understood this rich meaning that we just talked about that comes from the Passover celebration. They shared a heritage that owed its very existence to God's redemptive power and God's desire to have a relationship with his people. And so let's talk about the key factors, or some of the key factors, anyway, of the Lord's Supper. And they find their roots in the Passover meal. Number one, during the meal, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples. Nothing new there. They probably did that 100 times or hundreds of times as they had meals together. But then Jesus did something that was bound to have shocked them in that moment. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body." So what was normal, what was familiar, what they'd done 100 times, when we pass the communion trays, it's normal, it's familiar, we've done it. But then Jesus threw something in there that was completely different and changed the whole tenor. "This is my body, take and eat." If you remember in the Passover celebration in the Old Testament, the worshipers sacrificed their own lamb. They would take their lamb to the court of the Gentiles, past the court of the Gentiles, into the court of the men where the priest would meet them, and they would offer their own sacrifice. It was their job to take the life of their Passover sacrifice, their Passover lamb. The same thing is true for Jesus as our Passover lamb. Scripture describes that Jesus is our Passover lamb. And Peter would say in Acts 2:36 to the Jews at the day of Pentecost, "Let all Israel be assured of this, this Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ." So Peter makes sure his audience understands, you crucified your Savior. Scripture says they were pricked to the heart. Church, we're 2,000 years separated from that. But the truth of the matter is that you and I crucified our own Savior. It was our sins just as much as it was their sins. It was our sins that put Jesus on the cross. And so just as Peter spoke to his original audience and says, you crucified, let all Israel be assured of this, you did it. He can say those same words to you and me today, and does through Scripture. We have sacrificed our own Passover lamb. If you remember, the lamb could have no broken bones. Christ was sacrificed without any broken bones. John chapter 19, verse 31, John records for us. I'm going to start reading in verse 31. Yours starts in verse 33, but verse 31 begins, "Now was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But," and this is where we pick up on the screen, "but when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Our Passover lamb had to be perfect without blemish and no broken bones. And it was the custom of the people to break the bones of those who were crucified. Jesus died prior to that." So that prophecy and that promise continues. Skip down to verse 36. "These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken." That's from Psalm 34, a prophecy of our Messiah, our Savior, our Christ, from Psalm 34. And as another scripture says, "They will look on the one they have pierced," Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. So a lot of interesting and important features to our communion service, our Lord's Supper, that find its origin in the Passover. Jesus went on to add new meaning to the Passover drink in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 27. Oh, did I skip something? I've lost some slides here. All right, you're going to have to... I apologize for that. Well, you let a guy work from home for a week and he just falls apart, doesn't he? In Matthew 26, beginning in verse 27, Jesus says, "Then he took the cup," Scripture says, "then he took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.'" We'll stop there. Again, the disciples had to be shocked. Something familiar, something they were accustomed to, becomes something very different. If you remember way back when, Moses told the Israelites, the life of the creature is in the blood. And so they've been taught over and over again to connect the life force of the creature being the blood that's within them. And then Jesus comes along and he says, "Take this, it is my blood." The third cup of the Passover meal, there were four cups of wine dispersed throughout the meal. Each one had its own meaning. The third was known as the cup of redemption. That was the cup they used to celebrate their redemption out of Egypt, their redemption by God. And now we have one who has redeemed us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "In him," in Jesus Christ, "we have redemption through his blood." So when Jesus sat at the table and said, "Take this, this is my blood, drink," he was talking about the cup of redemption, and now we have redemption through his blood. Forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. So basically, the communion service we have is a New Testament covenant renewal ceremony like the Passover in the Old Covenant. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 23, the blood of the original lamb that was sacrificed was spread over the door frames so that when God moved through the village, he would pass over those homes so they would not find death there. In the same way, Christians are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9, beginning verse 24, says, "For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that's not his own." Hebrews 9, beginning verse 27. "Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, the sins of the world. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." So this is a celebration, a covenant renewal ceremony that happens on a weekly basis. Remember when Paul was in Troas in Acts chapter 20, he said, "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread." He's saying on the first day of the week, we came together to have communion. They had a sermon that lasted till midnight. They had worship, but they came together to break bread together. And now you and I celebrate this same ceremony, this same covenant renewal that started with Jesus some 2,000 years ago. Christ's body was nailed to the cross in my place and in your place. Christ took my sins and your sins to the cross with him. And we remember that and we celebrate that through communion. And through that sacrifice Christ made, we have forgiveness of sins. And we honor that and we celebrate it and we remember it every week with our communion service. So there's the significance of communion. Now let's talk about the qualities of communion. I'm a little afraid to advance it to see what comes next. There we are. That's what I thought. I'm sorry. I just got one slide in the wrong place and it threw everything off, didn't it? All right, so the Lord's Supper is significant in that it transcends time. What I mean by that is the fact that it transcends time. When Jesus sat down with his disciples and had that Passover meal and said, "Now take this bread, this is my body, and take this cup, this is my blood." When he did that, what he was saying was, "I am totally invested in redeeming you from your sins and bringing you back into a relationship with God." And he fulfilled that promise at the cross in his burial and his resurrection and his ascension. That same promise, that same desire for renewal and that same ability to redeem has been given to every generation of believers afterward and remembered and celebrated through communion. So it transcends time. It started at the cross and will find its ultimate fulfillment when we ascend into heaven to be with Christ and with God our Father and with each other in heaven. So this is applied to each generation until Christ returns. The Lord's Supper is a pledge from God. Through the bread and the cup, Jesus gives himself. He gives himself to us. He gives himself to believers who receive them. This is a pledge in the believer's share in eternity. One of the things to help me focus on where my heart and my mind needs to be, one of the things I think about when the bread is passed that represents Christ's body is that he came and took a body like ours, like yours and mine, a physical body, which had to be constricting to him. He took that body and he did it so he could be tempted in every way and yet without sin gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross. And then he rose from the tomb. And what I try to remember as I'm taking the communion is that promise that Jesus Christ rose from the tomb as the first fruit and that we have a promise that follows him. He has the ability to bring us back from the dead, to defeat death. That promise is just as real as that bread that passes through our lips. And then when the cup comes, one of the things I try to do to help remember, and I'm not saying you should, I'm just saying this helps me, is remember that there's a promise in Scripture that Christ's blood is sufficient to cover every sin that's ever been committed. Christ's blood is sufficient to cover my sin, your sins. It's sufficient to cover my wife's sins, my children's sins, my grandchildren's sins, your family's sins, for all those who have come before and all those who come after. And that promise is just as real as that cup that passes through our lips. And so this is a pledge from God that we have a home in heaven and a resurrected body and sins forgiven. It's a promise from God. It's also a pledge from you and me, a promise from God's people. 1 Peter 3:21 talks about, this is the NIV translation, talks about baptism being a pledge of a good conscience. It's a promise to God. I pledge to be a faithful covenant partner with you. If you remember when the Israelites were camped at the base of Mount Sinai, Moses went up to the God and God gave him the Ten Commandments, and Moses went down and he said, here's what God says. Here's how God says we will be covenant partners together. God will be your Lord and he'll be your protector. But you've got to honor him. You've got to obey him. You've got to live to his glory. Remember what the people said? We'll do everything the Lord has commanded. They made a pledge. When we're baptized, we make a pledge to God. We will be your disciple. We will be your follower. You will be our Lord. You will be our leader. We will live to your obedience and to live to your glory. So when we have communion, this is a renewal for our pledge. This is a way for us to remember the promise that we made and to remember to keep the promise that we made. And finally, participants in the Lord's Supper come in contact with the now and the future, the already and the not yet. It's a remembrance of an event that's gone past. You remember Todd in his communion thoughts when we talked about the bread. He talked about the body of Christ and the cross. He specifically mentioned the cross in his communion thoughts. That's part of what communion is. It takes us back to the cross. A remembrance and a celebration of what has been. But it also points to the future. The future when Christ returns and he sees those that are his. Scripture says that we receive the Holy Spirit at baptism. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance to come. So when Christ returns, he looks at us clothed with Christ in baptism, washed in Christ's blood, deposited with the Holy Spirit, and he says, these are mine. I'm taking them home to be with me. It's a look back at when the promise was made and a look ahead to when the promise is kept. It's a celebration of what God has done and what he will do. It's a reminder of what's important and what really matters. So let's honor the rich meaning of our communion service. Colby did such a great job, always does. He read from 1 Corinthians, and I'll remind you, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. When we take the bread and the cup, we're looking back at history. We're looking back at at Israelites enslaved in Egypt, crying out to God for delivery, and Moses comes and brings them deliverance. We're looking back at Jesus who went to the cross and took my sins and your sins to the cross, and it wasn't the nails that kept him there, it was our sins and his love for us. Scripture says Christ endured the cross for the joy that was set before them. Nothing joys in the cross, but what he took joy in was being able to offer you and me salvation through his body and through his blood. And each week we come together, we remember that, and we celebrate it, and we have a vowel renewal ceremony that looks back to the pledge we made and looks ahead to when the promise finds its fulfillment. If you're here this morning, you haven't made that pledge, but you can. If you can honestly say that you have sinned and that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Master, and you want to come to him for forgiveness of sins, you can be baptized into his name and come in contact with his blood and be clothed with Christ, given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and celebrate what he accomplished at the cross 2,000 years ago. For those of us who've done that, our call is to live to his glory. We made that pledge, to remember our pledge and keep it, so that when Christ returns, we go home to be with him in the place called paradise. If there's any way this church can serve you, we're going to stand in just a minute. That's our invitation to you. And maybe you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe you need to come back to Christ. Maybe you just want to see what God's word had to say about his plans for you. We'd love nothing more than to walk with you on your journey, whatever that looks like. If you're at home, reach out to us. If you're here, come forward as we stand and sing, if we can serve you in any way. Let's stand.